on the next episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes.
Well, Valentine's Day is here yet again, and we've decided to forget the roses and those chalky little hearts and those cutesy juvenile messages. Instead, we're going to share something that really says, I love you.
Got anybody else with you?
You guessed it, beer. Wonderful beer. For this episode, we're going to do a bottle share. But we aren't sharing beers we would pick for ourselves. Oh, no. No, we are true romantics at heart. And we and each host has brought a beer that they would choose for their sweetheart. So, for this episode, each host is going to introduce their sweetheart beer before we taste it.
We'll be right back after this break. You almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. Suds, suds, suds. It's time for more suds.
Oh, welcome, all of our beer fanatics and beer romantics. Welcome to another sud segment where we believe in love at first sight. Like when good old boy Sparky saw his wife Abby for the first time.
What? Where did she file that lawsuit? Which jurisdiction? Hey, look, was that federal court?
After the laser eye surgery, things got different.
Back in the day, hiding in the bushes wasn't a legal thing.
Was she an attorney before?
Oh, no. No, that came after.
That came after?
Tragically, yeah.
Maybe that was a cause and effect situation.
I think it was, yeah. Now, I never really thought of it.
I'm going to be married to you. I am going to be a lawyer.
Yeah, literally, she started law school the fall after the summer we got married. So that's, I just figured that out. Thanks, Mike.
Wow.
Appreciate it. Damn.
Or when good old boy Kendall saw his wife June for the first time.
Yeah, it was good, but honestly,
which Star little, Wars movie she, were you seeing at the time?
She approached me first.
Whoa!
Nice. You know, I knew I liked
pursued,
June for
tagged,
a
and bagged.
Or when good old boy Mike set eyes on his Dawn.
Oh, I was threatened, just like you know Kendall was. So you know, yeah, you know.
She said, "Hey, you actually, over here."
Actually,
right
I stood Dawn up on her second date. Yeah. I did. Yes, she knew I was the one right then and there. Yes.
Wow.
Oh so, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah,
like a real winner.
Yeah. That's what the T-shirt says.
Oh boy! Or when good old boy Dave first saw me holding an English I was not holding an English barley wine. I was holding something from New Belgium.
I was thinking of a large blunt object.
That was or every day after.
Yeah.
Well, anyways, I am one of your hosts, good old gal Juliana. Joining me today at the table for this romantic fest is good old boy Kendall.
It is a pleasure to be here today.
Good old boy Mike.
Oh, Juliet, how I love thee. Let me sip the ways.
Wow.
God almighty.
We're in for a wild ride. Buckle in, folks. Good old boy Sparky. Hello.
Hi.
And what a lovely shirt you are wearing
today.
Oh,
well, thanks. It's a Bill Murray shirt, actually. He's got his own line of
does he really?
Shirts. Yes, yeah. This is a Chicago
hot dog wiener dog.
Dog. Yeah. Shirt, yeah.
Nice.
Nice.
And good old boy Dave. Yo.
Wet dream tomato.
My God.
Was that the song that you were hearing when you first set eyes on Dave? Is that it?
Yeah. That was our wedding song we did.
We met at a beer fest. What are you talking about? I don't think there was any music going on at the time, except for the sound of traffic.
I'm thinking of Oompa Pa Man, you know, so yeah.
No, this was the one festival at the riverfront. They couldn't afford it.
Oof.
It's the one from Frugal McDougal.
Ooh, oh, wow.
Yeah.
So they ran out of glasses.
Out of beer and ran out of everything.
Well, nothing says I love you like I ran out of beer.
I knew we were in trouble when the first brewery on the inside had a couple six packs. And like, that's all they brought.
Literally. Yeah, this is how it's all going to go. Fast.
You set the tone.
And I was given a solo cup because they ran out of glasses.
Wow.
Well, it is natural. Yes.
Well, true. Fair. Okay. Well, Valentine's Day is here yet again, and we've decided to forget the roses and those chalky little hearts and those cutesy juvenile messages. Instead, we're going to share something that really says, I love you.
Got anybody else with you?
Oh, this guy. You guessed it. Beer. Mm-hmm. Wonderful beer. For this episode, we're going to do a bottle share.
I'm going to drink enough until your friend is good looking.
But we aren't sharing beers we would pick for ourselves. Oh, no. No, we are true romantics at heart. And each host has brought a beer that they would choose for their sweetheart. So, for this episode, each host is going to introduce their sweetheart beer before we taste it. And before we get to it, good old boy Sparky, would you give us the suds ratings for today? And to help set the mood for this episode, please do them in the voice of a character in a really bad rom-com.
Well, I feel like in most movies, it's either going to be Hugh Grant or Colin Firth. So that's the only two choices that you have. So. We will be discussing and rating these beers with these suds ratings, plus our belching sound signature. Quite not very posh. Here are those ratings now. That sucks. Give me anything but a broken heart. Was that foppish enough? Was that a belch, my love? It sounded like the laughter of angels. Ah, what a relief. This year I wouldn't spend Valentine's Day eating ice cream on the couch with my hand in my pants watching The Notebook before crying myself to sleep.
That's very true. I can see that.
For a body should really not make that sound, or maybe it should, Randy. And five. Listen to that hang time. Give me another taste of that sweet, sweet lovin', or perhaps we'll come together at the very end of the movie.
Wow, that was pretty good.
I'm not sure if that was a rom-com or Masterpiece Theater, but either way, I like
it. I think it was perfect.
Just a boy perfect. Here drinking a beer.
Holding a boombox.
Holding a boombox. Just call me McLovin.
Okay, well, we shall get started. And
oh, yeah, it started already.
Yeah, we're there.
And we shall get started with good old boy Kendall. What did you bring today for your sweetheart?
Oh, just an old I found in the fridge. You know, this is a beer I love, and it's a beer that I think goes well with a special occasion, and that is Cantillon's Classic Goose. Was a couple of their small bottles from 2016 I've had stashed away on their side at cellar temps. And boy, I think it's just a great beer. It ages really nicely. But the thing I like about this is you can drink this with a really nice meal. So I'm thinking, you know, Valentine's Day, I want to do something fancy. I might put together a little cheese plate, you know, cheese and charcuterie to start. And nothing goes with that better, especially with blue cheeses and those nice funky cheeses, than a good Cantillon Goose. Those kind of funky flavors really work together well. I mean, I love eating blue cheese with this stuff. So it's a great way to start a meal if you don't want to go with wine. I mean, I think beer pairs with cheese so much better than wine anyway. And so this is something I'm going to do to elevate the meal.
Beer does almost everything better than wine.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly.
Agreed.
I'm picturing you, you know, scantily clad on a bearskin rug in front of the fire. Seducing June with a charcuterie board.
Things just really got
Cantillon.
Uncomfortable.
That's that.
I, I would think I'd be wearing an apron. Since an apron. I was working in the kitchen.
Oh, yeah. Nice. Yeah. All and right.
Nothing but an apron.
All right.
Yeah. That would do. But yeah, this is just a beer I love, and it is a beer I break out for special occasions. And honestly, I don't have many left. Need to restock. But that's the nice thing about this. If you can find a case of this, get it, sit on it, you know, drink it for the next 10 years.
I think time has been very good to this. That was the first thing that caught my attention, is just how good this is, mm-hmm. and even in a cellar, you know, format. And you know, I agree with you. I love the even the cheese that you picked. Would you go Gorgonzola or Stilton?
I mean, either.
Either
the funkier the better.
Yeah, I agree. Any good funky style cheese with this, just I'll put a sign that says go away, you know, and leave me alone to enjoy this.
Mike's not going to share it.
I mean, so many good beers though.
Yeah.
That's true. That's just a fantastic cheese for beer.
But I think a lot of people, when you look at, you know, lambic styles, I think a lot of people are thinking that very, you know, tart, you know, harsh, you know, component, and they, you know, move away from seeing just how well balanced mm-hmm. and soft this can be just with a little bit of time. So yeah, if you're picking up any of those 2 and 3 year lambics, or if you want to go, you know, with a full goose, you know, definitely drop it in the cellar for 2 to 3 years. You will be rewarded with your patience.
I wanted to say thank you for sharing this with us. I think that means you really love us, and I appreciate it.
Beer is my love language.
Thank you.
I do need some blue cheese.
And I also love that we opened this up a little bit earlier to let it, you know, go up a little bit. And then the third thing I was going to say is it's been a minute since I've had a Cantillon Goose, and I love Goose, but the first sip that I had, like every salivary gland in my mouth like exploded, and I almost choked because it was just like, oh my God, this is so good. Yeah. But thank you.
Okay. So for those that don't know, this is just a little bit of housekeeping here. So this is the Cantillon Classic Goose, 5% ABV. Although, I mean, come on.
Right.
Right?
It's so low you can drink. So
wow, it's that high?
I mean, yeah.
A lot of gooses are 4.
That's true. So, you do get gooses lower, but compared to so many other beers that start at 5 and only go up, that's why this makes a beautiful, you know, you can polish off a big bottle of this with your friends and
oh my gosh.
Not even feel it.
Right, right. And like you said, it goes with everything. It's a classic, and it's so consistent in flavor throughout the years. Like you can't get that's mastery.
It's got that classic Cantillon taste. You know Cantillon when you taste it.
Yeah, by far. And I just had some emotional damage, though, because I realized that 2016 was 9 years ago, and I don't understand how that happened.
Yeah. And also, a goose is a blend of 1, 2, and 3 year old lambics, for those that don't know. We are going to rate this a 5. Of course. Yes.
I'm just shocked that he's like, this is some old thing I found in my fridge. Like, what?
Yeah. We'll be back with more in just a minute.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing. We've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling. Wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows. My hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Welcome back, everyone. So today is a special love episode, if you will.
I think we should think about adding something to our ratings, whether, you know, thumbs up you're getting laid or a thumbs down you're not, you know, after picking this beer. So I think Kendall is getting laid, you know, thumbs up.
Well, the way Sparky was talking about it, I mean.
Yeah. Erotic goos. Yeah.
A five is not, I mean, you know, if you're going to stick with the plan, then stick with the plan, you know, so.
Gosh, you're so funny.
Well, 5% beer that gets a 5 might get you laid, but like if it was a 16% beer,
you know, could be a 1 and you still
a nap. Speaking of which.
Yeah, that's fair. Okay. Well, for those of you just tuning in, today's episode, we asked each of our co-hosts
about getting laid
to bring in a beer that they would give to their sweetheart. So, Good old boy, Kendall. Thank you so much for bringing that, if I didn't say that enough times. Good old boy, Mike. What did you bring for your sweetheart?
Well, so the beer that I selected is from Alesmith. This is from their Vintage series. It is the private stock ale. The ABV on this is 11%. It is a Imperial English style ale. The reason why I picked this particular beer was my wife is not a hop fan. And so,
and yet you two married. Go yes. Figure.
So she thinks she doesn't like any hops, and yet I have served a beer to her that has no hops in it. She's like, I do not like this, and I'm like, okay. So the thing is that not all hops are evil, and so in fact, they're an essential pernicious ingredient. Weed. You know, towards really most beers have, you know, some hop, you know, component in it. I think she is definitely a noble hop, you know, person. I think she's probably a Fuggles, you know, if I had to pick probably a hop profile.
Pet name for her, by the way.
Wow.
Fuggles. Yeah.
Wow. Not going anywhere near that.
But, you know, she likes, you know, other weed styles, Hefeweizen. She, you know, there are Pilsners that... So that was the reason why I selected this, is because I think that it was stepping into the taste profile that I think that, you know, she would really enjoy. But I wanted something that was much like Kendall chose. I wanted something that was kicked up. And I really love old English ales. I love especially this one. Old Stock from North Coast is, you know, another one that's very close. I like those Belgian strong ales, you know, that are, you know, similar style to this. This has been cellared for about 9 years. So it's, I think it's been lovingly, you know, stored well. And I think this is, I think time has definitely done this a favor. I really enjoy this.
Okay. For the uneducated, good old boy Kendall, what classifies an old ale?
Well, they're just a little bit stronger British ales. So, you know, most of us know British ales is either the stouts and porters or the bitters and the things like that. This is off to a little bit more different direction, where it's a lot more of that malty flavor that the British are known for, but they even kick it up a notch. I'm getting a little raisin, a little toffee, just that dark sugar. Yeah. And so you get a completely different flavor profile. Plus they crank, you know, the alcohol way up, because the reason it was an old ale is because it was aged. And that's one of the reasons
it would survive shipping.
Yep. It would have that big alcohol content. So these are going to be big beers with big flavors. You know, there's really no hops at all, except the little bit they need. There's no bitterness on these. These are like malt bombs.
And still distinct from a barley wine, though, like, which is equally big, but a little more,
maybe a little hop, more bitterness on the side. Yeah. Balance. These are a lot softer. And the thing I like about this is it's, even though it is very malty, it doesn't come across as overly sweet. I mean, the finish on this is kind of amazing for as much malt as in it. It almost has that dry sensation on your palate like a good Belgian beer has.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was the thing I was going to say, is it's surprisingly dry at the end, considering, you know, what it is at the beginning.
Oh, sure. Sure. And something that will age. I mean, this is 9 years.
Yeah.
And I mean... Do you think it's hit its peak? Well, or do you think it could even stand to be a little bit longer?
No, I think this is right in the sweet spot for this. Okay. I think if I'd probably sell it this for another 3 years, I think we'd have been catching it on the downward trend.
I think somewhere
get too sweet.
Between 6 and 9 is good with these beers. It just depends, and we've seen that in other big malty beers that we've aged. That 6-year to 9-year mark can be ideal.
Sure. Okay. What would you pair with this?
Wow. Well, I'd have to pick something that, you know, she likes, which is tacos. So she's, you know.
Old Ale and Taco Tuesday night.
Wow. Hey.
I can see it.
That's those, a wild night.
Those birria tacos, man.
I can definitely see a really good beef Wellington going with this.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, sure. I'm trying to think of some other things that would pair well with this. I love the cheese choice, but I would probably go with more of a Camembert, like a soft, you know, creamy style, you know, cheese. Mm-hmm. I can see all that kind of working. Okay. I don't know. Sparky, you're a good beer pairing choice.
Yeah, no, I mean, I think you hit on the head when you said a Wellington. I think, something like a good brisket, perhaps. Mm-hmm. I think this would go really well with that. Just something to kind of, the fat to kind of cut through some of that.
Yeah, the beef. I think you're onto something here. Beef is going to go really well with this. Mm-hmm. I think no matter how you cook it, just those flavors you get of that, you know, the Maillard effect as the beef cooks really pairs well with the Maillard effect that happened to the grains in this thing.
And I think it, you know, I think you could call it just something new, like maybe steak and ale or something like that. Huh. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean, I was thinking of shepherd's pie, you know, like, you know, something like that.
Ooh, yeah.
I think the one thing that I find interesting is that, you know, normally, you know, Belgian strong ales like a Chimay Grand Reserve is really where you're looking for a lot of those fig and raisin components to kind of jump in. And this is not necessarily the same style. And yet I still find a lot of the same, you know, experiences, but this is not as intense, I think, as you would find in this.
Yeah, I think that's fair. But, man, boy, try to compare these styles blind together. Those dark Belgian ales or these dark English ales, they really overlap. It's not as easy to think.
A lot of the difference just come down to the yeast strains, I guess.
Even then, it can be tricky.
Yeah.
Yeah, fair.
Get that big and that boozy. I'm just thinking about Mike, you know.
Big and boozy?
Yeah, serving up some of this with some steak to Dawn. And he's all like,
shake my hips just a little bit more.
Good old boy Dave, any last quick thoughts about this beer?
That's all I really wanted to say.
Okay. Yeah.
You've been saving that clip for a long time. Yeah, I know.
That has been aged as almost as well as the beer.
I don't remember seeing that.
Okay. I think this is another successful beer, and we shall rate this a 5.
Mm-hmm. Nice choice, Mike. Yeah, thank you. One of the things we didn't talk about is Mike brought this just barely chilled. Everything else was a little colder.
Right.
This beer works really well at almost room temperature.
Okay. Thank you.
Really good point.
Yeah, I literally pulled this out of the cellar about, I don't know, 3 or 4 hours ago and decided not to chill it anymore.
Perfect choice for a beer like this.
I really thought that would, you know, help this thing sing. I don't know that it's at, you know, full room temperature, you know, right now, but it's probably like 60.
If you pulled it out at 40 degrees and open it, this would not. Probably not be as good. It'd
take a while to open.
You wouldn't get the flavor.
You're gonna have to wait for it to warm up anyways. Yeah. To really get for sure. So
Okay. Cool.
Yes.
Okay.
But would I get laid with this?
I'm
not gonna go there.
Fear the wrath of Dawn. Is that it?
Well. Anyways. Yep. Okay. Okay, moving on. Good old boy Sparky, you put a nice little twist on your sweetheart beer now, didn't you?
I did. I decided to bring two varieties of the same beer, one in a bottle and one in the can.
Because at Sip Suds and Smokes, we are always thinking.
It's true. It's true. We take it one step further than we have to.
Did you get that memo? We're always thinking. Did you hear that?
I do not believe that's our catchphrase.
No. She didn't say what we're thinking about.
I didn't. I left that open to interpretation.
Thinking.
I'd never use that as a tagline in the management memos.
Okay, so What did you bring today?
So I brought today from New Glarus in Wisconsin, strawberry rhubarb, which is a seasonal beer that they do almost every year. There's been some years where they haven't been able to get enough rhubarb to do it. But this is my wife's favorite beer. I have, she's originally from Madison, Wisconsin, and there's, I have two sources to get this beer from. There's this gentleman by the name of Chris Ramada who will send it to me. And one of my good friends, Trent Rosenblum, usually brings me back some in the summer. And there's a legend that 60% of the time this beer works every time in my household. So, yeah. So it's really my wife's favorite thing of all time. And I'll usually light a couple of candles, set the music, and then strawberry rhubarb. But yeah, it's it's a great beer.
Now, which one is the can? Because I know you guys can't see this on in Radioland, but they are distinctively differently colored.
They are, yeah.
Which is crazy, right?
Yeah, the stuff from the bottle is much darker than the stuff from the can. So,
however, the stuff from the bottle is older than the stuff from the can. That's correct? Right.
Yeah, the bottle is about 6 years old, and the can is about 3 years old. Okay. So,
okay. Yeah. Now, this is, oddly enough, like a 4% ABV beer, which really always blows me away when I see that because it's got great, it's always has great flavor. And then it is, yeah, strawberries and rhubarb.
So I really love the storyline behind how this beer got started. And so if you've heard us talk about this beer before, I thought I'd just kind of refresh everybody. This beer actually got created out of a huge mistake. So there was a huge hailstorm that came into this area of Wisconsin, and it damaged a lot of crops, including this strawberry farm that was in Wisconsin. And so they could not take them to market because the fruit had been damaged. And so they were shopping to find, actually to sell it off as animal feed. And the brewer actually got wind that, you know, there was, you know, this whole huge, you know, crop of strawberries that was going to be available for literally pennies on the dollar. And so they said, well, we've never done anything with strawberry, but at that price, we'll figure it out. Bring the fruit to us and we will make a beer out of it. And so that is how this beer actually got created.
Nice.
Was out of just a huge, you know, storm that came around.
Good job, Mother Nature.
And now I don't know if they had made a few pilot, you know, versions of this recipe and the introduction of rhubarb to actually balance out, you know, some of the sugars in the fruit or not. But you know, even the early versions of this that we had when it was first released were just absolutely stunning. And everybody, you know, it was one of those things that you tasted and went, wow, I've never had anything like this before. And I like it a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, and I think it's a testament to the brewing capabilities to make a beer like this consistently, you know, every year, because your crops are going to vary so much. I mean, rhubarb.
Especially with fruit.
Yeah. I mean, the rhubarb and strawberries are little fickle wenches, you know, and you can get a super sweet crop 1 year and not so much another. And
you never know the bricks you're going to be working with.
Yeah. And to be able to, you know,
which is sugar,
kind of pivot and change your recipe a bit to make up for that is really incredible.
Yeah, I've always had so many questions about this beer too. Is it pasteurized? Is it, you know, is it really technically, you know, I mean, I've heard this listed as a lambic or, you know, technically a sour or something like that, but it's not really at all. You know, where would you categorize this?
Yeah. Though I guess maybe some years it might taste like that if the fruit is not as sweet as like a previous iteration.
I will say that just tasting between the two of these, it definitely the 6-year-old bottle has fallen off. It feels like major. Yep. There's still much more brightness from the can.
Well, would you say that the bottle's more jammy? You know, like
I know which one I like between the two. I like the can.
Yeah, but
it's Mike's more.
Is that because the can's brighter? Like,
yeah, the can is brighter, but I think you're right. Maybe the bottle is a little more jammy, but
yeah,
I don't think
sure.
this is a can versus bottle difference because there is such an age difference.
I think
it's mostly an age difference.
Yeah, totally.
But it still tastes really good for
yeah.
6 year old, you know, strawberry rhubarb. But you can tell that this one is really nice at 3 years old.
Yeah. I think it's doing just fine at three for sure.
Do you think that canning this versus since they don't bottle it anymore?
Yeah.
You think that canning this preserves it better?
I think there's no question about that. Okay. I mean,
But I'd be curious if they are, you know, doing some filtering or pasteurizing.
I wonder.
Because you can't, it's if you put fruit in a can, we know bad things can happen.
Yeah. And so that has to be, in my mind.
There might be, they might have created an additional step before they put it in a can just
We've
for longevity.
Tasted those beers.
Because, you know, they used to put it in those big bombers with the most ineffectual wax the world has ever seen. Yeah. It's like, somebody rubbed it in toothpaste.
Oh, it's always been a great beer, no matter what format it came in.
Yeah, for sure.
I definitely love. I'm gonna rephrase it. I like the younger version of this.
Sure.
And I think for those of you that are, when you hear that it's a strawberry rhubarb, I mean, a lot of people when they hear rhubarb, they're thinking of rhubarb pie or any other, and they're thinking of that very heavy, you know, bittering component that's in rhubarb. This is not in this beer. So it is there, but it is there for a matter of balance against all the sugars, you know, against the strawberry. And, you know, strawberry rhubarb is a very common, you know, combination of fruit, especially mm-hmm. in, you know, the Midwest, northern Midwest.
Part
of the U.S.
Yeah. In a perfect universe, I would have strawberry rhubarb jam and strawberry rhubarb pie all the time. Like, mm-hmm. I would say that this is a favorite.
I heard, and I don't know if this is true, too, for like 1 year they had a tough time sourcing rhubarb and they were like having people bring them rhubarb and trading them beer for it. I heard that story one time. I don't know if it's true or not.
Never heard it.
You know,
sounds fun.
But yeah. They would be the guys to do that.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean?
Bring us a bushel of rhubarb, you get a case of Spotted Cow.
Yeah, or two.
There
or
you go.
Yeah. Okay, cool.
That's the official secondary currency in Wisconsin.
Well, I'll
either that or cheese curds, right?
I've enjoyed our conversations about pairing. And, you know, the first thing that strikes me is I would actually have this with challah bread.
Well, I like to pair this with nudity.
Any flavor of nudity.
It's
right?
True. Yes. Maybe chocolate.
I like this. Jews gone wild. Okay.
Yeah. It's true. Plenty
sure,
of juice.
But you could see this with a tort or something.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm-hmm. You this know, is a great yeah, dessert. Dark chocolate dessert. Yeah.
Yeah, made it would have it. To be something that, you know, would still be very heavy on the palate because you have all of this fruit and sugar, you know.
Even cheesecake.
Yeah.
Nice and fatty.
Ooh, that's a great choice.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
But I like a chocolate tort as well.
Yeah, like a dark, really dense.
You know, like that chocolate cake we got you for your birthday that 1 year?
Yeah, thank you.
Like that. No, but like something dense and
perfect.
Dark like that. Yeah, that would be cool. Okay, so Dave, any last thoughts before we...
I have no thoughts.
Okay, so do we rate it together?
Oh, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Together it's a 5, and then when we go can over bottle?
Yes. I'm going to go can over bottle. Yeah.
Can over bottle.
But I like it in the can.
I think it's about time versus no time.
Of course
time.
You do.
Yeah. I think
agreed.
I think 6 years is too long.
Yep.
I think 3 years is... Actually, I like, you know, just a little bit of time off this.
A little bit.
Just to soften it, you know, just a bit.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, we will be back with more in just a minute.
It's not just the destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love, our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view.
Welcome back, everyone. Today's episode is all about Cupid, in a way. Cupid and beer. I wonder what beer Cupid would drink before he starts, you know, throwing his arrows.
Pabst Blue Ribbon.
PBR?
Yeah.
He probably needs something easy.
Oh, yeah, he's a working man.
Yeah, you're right.
I got a story about throwing some arrows around,
Well, really? Well, please, good old boy Mike, tell.
I really love the fact that there are, you know, people that are trying to find interesting, you know, elements of capturing attention, you know, around Valentine's Day, you know. This is not one that probably would have, you know, been on my radar. So it is a story from the Memphis Zoo and actually celebrating Valentine's Day. So in Tennessee, we have hot, cold, hot, cold, hot, cold. And we're right in the middle of that, you know, right now during our primary recording of this. The zoo has announced a dating or dumping promotion. All right. What do you think that involves?
Well, if it's a zoo, I'm there.
Not even close.
I'm thinking the color brown is involved.
Yeah, that is definitely a very good choice here, which allows followers to exchange a donation of $10 for a video to pass along as a Valentine's Day gift. Have you figured it out yet? No, you have not. Yep, so it's an adorable video of a red panda munching on a grape or a stinking video of an elephant pooping hitting the pile.
Does that mean you got dumped?
What?
Wow. That's right. The option.
You have the option?
Well, yep.
So if it's your current
if you
love.
Got an ex that deserves a stinking surprise, this Valentine's, let the elephant do the talking, and maybe you found the one that will send them something adorable. Our red pandas have you covered. So so this is an interesting way to send a message to your ex for sure.
So if it's your current love, they get a red panda eating a grape.
They expanded the audience to this. Could it be an annoying neighbor, an overbearing mother-in-law, your ex, a coworker who gives you the nightmares? The list is rather long and distinguished. Most of your friends, right, Dave?
Yeah, Mike, expect an email sometime around the end of next week.
Why have this for Valentine's Day alone then?
I agree. You know what?
Is this the video
that keeps on giving? Is that it? Yeah. It even comes with a digital card. At the end of the campaign, we'll announce the most popular names, the daters and dumpers. So.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. There's always that problem, though. It turns out your ex is actually really into elephant crap.
Yep. So
that's
the name of this campaign is Name a Turd After a Turd.
How romantic.
Wow.
How romantic.
I feel kind of bad for the elephants. Like, what are they getting out of this? You know,
peanuts.
They're just like, hey,
they work for peanuts.
I'm just doing what I do.
So my favorite question about this was, what did Dave type into a search engine to find this story?
Possible gifts for Mike.
Yeah.
Wow.
I did that once, and there was a lot.
Was it porn from Yugoslavia?
It was more like East German 1980s kind of stuff.
I'm just stunned that Memphis Zoo would do this. I mean, I don't know the Memphis Zoo, so just seems like, well, who was in that meeting going?
This seems like a great idea. Who was in the room when this idea came out?
I have a very different opinion about Memphis.
Sparky was there.
I guess. Yeah,
that's true. Oh, I mean, I'm just thinking in the nonprofit world, like, you know what? It worked because we're talking about it on our radio show.
That's a great idea.
I mean,
point.
No such thing as bad publicity.
Yeah. So. That's what my boss keeps telling me.
That's okay.
Well, while we're talking about talking, why don't we talk about Talking Machine?
Yeah.
No.
Well,
we're going to talk about Lovebird.
No. Lovebird. Okay. Yeah, sorry.
Next up is good old boy Dave.
So, my lovely sweetheart has always enjoyed a beer from a local brewery called Jackalope. That this is probably the only beer we buy from them on the reg. But Lovebird is a 4.4% fruited wheat beer with strawberries and raspberries.
What's wrong, Mike?
Yeah, Mike's okay. Having a hard day over
here. How you doing? You're doing okay, buddy?
He's missing that goose right about now.
How's it going over there, buddy?
There's more candy on Mike. God. Yeah.
Mike, come over here. That's so hard.
Why don't you take a sip of this yummy
better than candy on goose?
Okay, look. It's hard to find a beer that I like that on the regular. I mean, maybe, I don't know, maybe Guinness or maybe something from Pennsylvania. But I do, I'm not really like a Heffa girl per se, but I just do like this. I like the story of this. I like supporting a local brewery. I mean, I'm sorry. And it used to be that this was only put out once every year.
Yes.
Now.
Not to infect the rest of the calendar.
Right.
Now it is infecting.
I mean, I feel like. I feel like a lot of times in Valentine's, you only put out once a year. I feel like that's...
Everybody has to have a goal spark.
It's true. I'm sorry.
But that makes it more special.
I'm so sorry. You know.
Wow. You've killed us all, Sparky. You've killed us all.
So this strawberry raspberry wheat is 4.4% ABV. And may I just say how interesting that is that 3 out of 4 of you so far have picked beers that were in the 4 to 5 range, which I find interesting because if you're trying to woo and potentially super woo.
Well, I don't think.
You know, you almost feel like you would want to have something a little higher ABV. But for us here at Sip Suds and Smokes, it's not about the ABV.
So you're saying a lot of guys.
Except for Mike.
A lot of guys would go with a 40 of malt liquor to.
I tried some of this Black Tuesday.
I'm going to go with a gummy and Lovebird. Actually, I'm just going to skip the Lovebird and just go for the gummy. So, yeah.
Okay, look.
Well, I think it's a nice, easy drinking little beer. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, you could have it with some tacos, Dawn. You know,
skip the lump.
Okay, look, there's nothing extravagant about this beer. Okay, nothing. No bells and whistles, no crazy.
All right, so we don't yeast. Have to defend it.
Okay,
so Kendall, what do you think about Lovebird?
I mean, I've had batches of Lovebird that I like. This one's not working for me. I'm getting a weird, almost bitter aftertaste you know, in my mouth in the finish. And it's like, I don't know if that's coming from whatever flavorings they use, but this doesn't taste like regular Lovebird to me.
It tastes like the LaCroix version of Lovebird to me. Like I'm looking.
It has a little less of everything.
Yeah, like I'm drinking a Hefeweizen, and then some over there, there's like a fruit that I'm looking at.
Yeah, and the fruit's not coming through as nice and juicy.
That I've had like, before.
It feels almost
very faint
in this one. And maybe faint. Even like just a flavoring instead of just fruit. I'm not getting a lot
and
out of it.
And this is this post-buyout?
Yeah, I guess Lovebird? It might be. I guess it might be.
Yeah. They have had an ownership and management change, but it just doesn't seem the same.
And a Timmy change.
I don't know if I would buy any more of this. It's just, I'd give it a try. Maybe if they do something with it.
And I wonder, are they making bigger batches of stuff?
So when it was seasonal and once a year, it might have had a little extra tweaking to scale it up to full-time production. They might have had to change some things.
Yeah.
And maybe that's
It's a cute can.
I do not like this beer.
I like this.
We didn't expect you to like this beer.
I know, but I'm sitting here listening to the conversation and my emissary stepping in and, you know, being rather loquacious with just how much they don't like it as well.
Yeah.
So, you know, I didn't like it when it was released.
Listen, man.
I didn't like it 3 years ago. I don't like it today.
Sometimes love is messy. All right. We don't all like the same things. It's all good.
But I am with Kendall. With all the batches I've had, there is something that is a bit off with this. There's some bitterness that's creeping in on this that I don't know where that came from.
I don't remember that.
I think the first time I ever had this was at a beer festival too. And like, I just remember the fruit being so much more forward, or I could have been wasted. It could be, or it might be both.
Could be.
Of those things.
Sure. The first time that I had this was at a beer fest too. And I appreciated the fact that I wasn't getting a lot of the Heffa to it and that I was getting so much fruit. And I was like, you know what? If I'm going to have a Heffa, this is the one I would have because it's not the banana and clove thing. You know what I mean?
So I think at the end of the day, right, we can all safely say that the only thing Julie, good old gal Juliana, has a good taste in is men. All right. So. Oh,
and that's questionable.
Wow.
You know what, do Kendall?
Banned once again.
Okay. All well, right. Well, anyways.
I'm sorry, baby.
The lovebird falls short, and we are going to rate this one a 2.
Take now, these broken wings.
Dave is never going to like that. Yeah.
Which I actually do like that band. By
is your
way.
Netflix subscription up to date?
He's broken. Okay. Wings. So. Everyone,
am I gonna be watching The Notebook?
Okay, so
you bet, you buddy.
Cleanse your palate. Get the lovebird out of your.
Oh, it's a lovebird out of your mouth.
It's gone.
There's some Cantillon left. That'll do the job.
Oh, yeah. Okay, fine.
Well played.
Yep, the private stock ale will just rip the enamel off anything.
Okay.
Ooh, this
fine,
is fun.
Fine. Okay, this so now let's talk about what my beer that I got for good old boy Dave. This is called Talking Machine.
This is Dave all the way.
From Barrique, is it not? See, so at least somebody knows their spouse. I'm being funny. Wow. Okay, so this is an English style IPA. It's 6% ABV. Mm. This was recently released by Barrique, so it was very serendipitous that it came out when it did. So, according to Barrique, they can go on and on about the history of IPA, India Pale Ale, and its voyage across the globe. But there is also a lot of mythology surrounding the past of this style. I mean, and there is. Okay, fine.
We did a show on it.
We did. So this is, to me, this is truly an English style.
It is.
IPA all the way.
Yeah.
So you're using Maris Otter from the UK, some crystal malt, a little corn sugar, and First Gold and Endeavor hops, which are from the UK.
I had this at the tap room on cask.
That was exactly where I was headed, which is, was this on the beer engine? Because I would have loved to have had this.
Yeah, beautiful on the beer engine.
It's on there right now.
And you know what? God bless Barrique for making something like this. Like, it's really, they do just such a great job.
Love Joel and company. Huge fans.
Yeah, and I honestly think there's a lot of people that have no idea what an English IPA is supposed to taste like these days.
We are a long way from that.
The ones we get from Britain are usually old and not great.
Everything's fun out.
Seek this out. It is a classic British IPA.
Big treat.
And you really understand when you drink this, you understand how this style kind of influenced American beer and kind of took over the world.
A lot of times the closest you can get here is like, unless somebody does something like this, it'd be like an old school East Coast IPA, because that's about
those
as close,
were similar.
Yeah.
Well, I love how thoughtful this is, because, you know, I know how much Dave really enjoys, you know, really good, you know, English style ales. And, you know, even though the one that I brought is not really stepping into this same taste profile. So this is a lot more bitter. So it's actually a lower ABV, I'm betting, as well. This is probably 4 or 5. Eh?
This is 6.
All right. So,
yeah.
Wow. It's right in the wheelhouse.
But, you know, to Kendall's point is that, you know, I think we're really seeing how far off of the taste profile as this beer was originally defined, you know, as it's been, for better, it's been Americanized with a completely different hop profile, you know, than they even had to work with at all, you know, when this style of beer was even established. So, you know, do I think the Cascade hops, you know, really kind of come close of heading down? Yes, they do. But I think they're overtly piney and sticky and don't really capture, I think, how more subtle this really is at the end of the day. So the I really love earthiness. The balance of this beer. Yeah. I think it is true to style. I mean, bravo, you know, for Joel and company. Really great beer. Great choice, Juliana.
Great choice, Juliana.
Oh, you are so welcome. I wish that Karnowski was here to taste, because he would be the guy. And for those of you that don't know Mr. Karnowski, it's Zebulon Ales in Weaverville. But, like, he would appreciate this beer.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I agree.
Anyways, but, glad you liked it. And this, to me, epitomizes that guy.
Oh,
this guy.
Good old boy, Dave.
That's right.
Yes. Okay. Oh, wow. We are going to rate this, wow, the talking machine from Barrique a 5.
I love that my beer that I bought for you is the only one that Mike crapped on.
It's cool, man.
I was the one that said LaCroix.
Yeah, the question is would Dave get laid with
Sparky?
This beer?
You could say anything.
That is the magic question.
Sparky can get away with anything.
Okay. So
I'm an adorable little imp.
I think you'd be watching The Notebook.
Well,
would
Juliana get laid with this last beer? So, I mean, you know.
And there's that. Okay. Yeah. So we knew we might have a couple minutes left. And unbeknownst to us and Sparky, we brought out Serendipity from the cellar. And this is another one from New Glarus.
2017.
So 2017.
That's interesting.
Yeah. So this is apples, cherries, cranberries from Wisconsin that has been aged in oak with wild fermentation.
So the thing that I call this beer from New Glarus is my backyard, because these are the crops that are right around the brewery itself. And I love the fact that they have locally sourced a lot of things around them. In fact, there are tour buses that go, you know, in and around this region of Wisconsin to go and visit basically, you know, this taste profile. So I love the fact that it's all
it's drinking
there.
Great.
Yeah.
It is. Beautiful. And again, like this might be a little bit more on the sour side, but what a great beer. And we are going to rate this a 5. Well, that's going to do it for today. Thanks so much to everyone for listening and enjoying our little lovely Valentine's themed episode. Good old boy Kendall, thanks so much for being here.
It was a pleasure. These were some excellent beers.
Please tell us about your blog.
My beautiful wife and I blog about the good news of good beer at beermakes3.com. Mm,
it's news now.
Good old boy Mike, thanks for being here.
Hey, come back, enjoy another exciting episode of Sip, Suds, and Smokes. I'll ask you to keep on sipping.
Good old boy Sparky, thanks for being with us today.
It's great to be here. And if you can just sign this form that shows that I worked off some more of my community service hours, I'd appreciate it.
You've been doing that for years.
I know. We've got a long way to go.
Loveboard, get you 2-1.
Good old boy Dave, thanks for being here.
Oops, just a little bit more. Oh my
goodness. This is good old gal Juliana. Keep on chugging and catch you next time.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor. And tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes. And our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.